O God, you summon the day to dawn. For you, the lowlands shall lift songs in joy.
For you, the trees shall clap their hands.
For you, the privileged and powerful shall bow.
For you, the outcast and the soul shall see.
Your faithfulness and love shall last forever.
Fresh as the morning, sure as the sunrise.
Great is your name.
Great is your love.
Friends, you may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ and through his Spirit, I bid you welcome to the First Congregational Church, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. You are welcome here if you are single, married, partnered, divorced, or widowed, for here we will partner with you. You are welcome if you are a parent or a child of one, for here we will be family to you. You are welcome here if you know exactly what you believe or if you have no idea what to believe, for here we will share our faith with you. You are welcome here if you love people whose bodies look like yours or if you love people whose bodies look different, for here we are all together the body of Christ. You are welcome if you are from here or if you have traveled from afar, for our God is here and there and everywhere. You are welcome if you are a saint or a sinner, for God knows we are all a little bit of both. Friends, you are welcome here just as you are, because you are a beloved child of God made in God's very own image, and here the Spirit will meet you, feed you, console you, and even transform you. I have a couple of announcements to make about the life of this place. As I make my announcements, I invite anyone else who has an announcement to make to please come forward to that microphone so that you might be ready when I am done. First of all, I want to welcome Tracy back to our bench this morning. It is always good to have you with us and to have your worship leadership. A special welcome to Andrea and her whole family. We are glad that you are here with your gift of beauty this morning. I want to draw your attention to the flowers that are around this room, the beautiful flowers that are around this room, and the flowers that were out there in the narthex when you came in are here because we held a service in celebration of the life of Harriet Rothstein this past Friday. They have left these flowers here that we might find joy in them and be dazzled by their beauty. Speaking of these flowers, Michelle.
If you would like to take a bouquet of flowers to someone who might appreciate them, need them, just cheer up their day, I'll be in the narthex after church dispensing them. So come see me and I will give you a bouquet for someone who needs flowers.
Good morning. I'm Madonna. I'm Madonna Marr with the Mission in Action Committee here at church. I have an announcement from Ann Hutchinson. For the last several weeks, Ann has been working with Muddy Brook Elementary School and Fairview Hospital to provide food for children to take home to their families when they're at summer camp. Several members of our congregation have been helping with that project. Ann wants to thank everybody who has been donating and helping. And there are 2 weeks left to the summer camp. And Anne would like to ask people that if they could still make some donations. There's a short list, plain Cheerios or just the generic store brand plain Cheerios, boxes of Triscuits or Wheat Thins are acceptable. And she's also looking for yogurt tubes that are squeezable. So any of these items, she would greatly appreciate as a donation. You can drop them off in the kitchen. The yogurts you can put in the refrigerator. And she packs all these backpacks and grocery bags on Thursday morning. So she comes here around maybe 10 o'clock in the morning. So if you have any donations, please bring them to the kitchen and she will pick them up. And again, she says thank you for our generous congregation.
The American Boy Choir is coming to sing with the Boston Symphony Orchestra on Saturday, August 8th, and Catherine and Brent have invited them to be our church choir on August 9th. They will expand the gathering time and call to worship music and sing our anthem, offertory, postlude, and descants on every hymn. This is the school tie. Okay? The church parking area will be their drop-off and pickup location. There's 24 or 25 boys. We have housing for half of them. If any of you are interested in having boys stay with you, it's about a 9 o'clock drop-off in the morning after breakfast and pick up later in the evening. Thursday evening, Friday evening, and Saturday evening are filled on their schedule, so there's no dinner involved. But you can see me afterwards if you're interested in doing that. Thank you.
Friends, throughout time, God has lifted up prophets through whom God has spoken. Prophets have long been used to hold us accountable for our lives. They have long called on us to reflect on who we are and how we are using the great blessings and gifts that God has bestowed upon us. And so today we invite you to hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah as God speaks to us today.
Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed. Nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
Brothers and sisters, these challenging words are also an invitation to bring the fullness of our lives into the fullness of God's grace. In that spirit, I invite you to join me in the unison prayer of confession as printed in our bulletin. Let us pray together and out loud. God, our shepherd, father and mother to all creation, we ask your forgiveness for the ways we live that divide and scatter your children. We lay before you the ways we have not loved you with our whole hearts and our neighbors as ourselves. We confess the ways we have lived that foster inequality, division, and strife. Forgive us, God, as we pray in silence our complicity and our evil doings. All these things, loving God, we lift before you and trust in your grace and your mercy. Amen. Friends, I have some good news for you. It is such good news that you dare not take it sitting down. So if you are able, will you rise to your feet? It is true that each and every one of us have sinned. It is a greater truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus, the Anointed One. To all who humbly seek the mercy of God, I remind you of this everlasting truth. Our sins are forgiven. Let us live in grace and peace to sin no more. And let the whole church say, Amen. Now that you have been forgiven and reconciled to God, it is high time that we reconcile ourselves to one another. Let us turn to one another and offer the gift of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Peace be with you, Sarah. Peace, Michael. Welcome. When you have shared enough peace and given away enough love, please be seated.
The second scripture reading is from Mark chapter 10. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, do not stop them, for it is to such of these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
All right, at this point, I invite any children who are present to come on up. And since these children who are with us today are guests, it might be nice if we had others who felt youthful like children to please come on up and sit with them up here. I will even give you my chair. Come on up. Do we have anyone who will make them feel welcome? Thank you. All right. See, we have lots of kids here. And all sitting on the floor. Well, I will feel bad, but I will sit up here anyway. Carrie, come on up and sit next to you. Thank you. Thank you. So I have a question for the children here. Are there ever times or places where you have learned that kids aren't allowed? They aren't permitted to be somewhere. Can you think of any times or places, any of the children, where kids are not allowed to be? Okay. There can be signs in restaurants. In fact, there are signs in restaurants that say children are not allowed for the enjoyment of our dining guests. You could parse that phrase many ways, but we'll leave it there. Jack.
The shed at Tanglewood if you're under five.
The shed at Tanglewood if you're under five. except for rehearsals. Any other places that you're not allowed to go? Can you think of any? No. Well, that's good. So there were a few that came to my mind as I thought about it, and I have some pictures here for you. Is that sometimes, like Carrie said, the messages of kids being welcome are pretty overt. Can you see the sign? It says adults only, 18 years of age. It even defines how old you have to be an adult. And then if you've ever gone to a movie theater, you might run into this sign, right? That this movie is restricted. And again, under 17 requires an adult to come with you. But my favorite sign about kids and not being welcome actually has nothing to do with age. It has to do with how tall you are, right? Has everybody been to an amusement park and you've seen a sign like this one with this guy that says, you have to be this tall to ride this ride? Here's what I want to tell you today, is that when Jesus was here, he was sitting, and kids kept trying to come to him to sit on his lap and be near him and talk to him. And the adults were saying, no, 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 stay away from him. Keep away from Jesus, for adults only. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, no, you're wrong. Let the children come to me. He said, in fact, unless adults become like kids, full of fun and full of life and full of vigor, all the reasons the restaurants don't want you there, unless adults become like kids, you can't understand what love and life is all about. You don't come to this church maybe regularly. I hope you might at some point, but if you do, I want you to know this about our church. Is that we invite our children into the life of this church fully. We invite you to always come and stay as long as you want in worship, to be here as long as you want to be. But as a church, I think we also need to take it beyond there. Whether it by sign or by frown or by some other way, we often discourage our children from being fully in the life of this congregation. And kids, you need to know that here in this church, we try to follow Jesus, which means we welcome you in worship. We welcome you when we serve the world. We welcome you when we clean this place up. We welcome you to make fellowship food for fellowship hour. You can be a kid, and you can also be fully involved in this church. So if you're ever in a church and somebody tells you you're not allowed to be there, you tell them, well, I was in this church in Stockbridge once, and they said, I'm always welcome. Okay? Before you head back to your seat, because I know you're getting a little squirmy, let's go ahead and we're going to join together. We're going to say a prayer. It's known as the Lord's Prayer. If you know the words, please say it out loud. And if you don't, listen, and we will teach it to you. Let us pray. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, all you kids can go back to your seats.
Our story this morning continues the story from previous weeks. The disciples have returned from their various trips and ministries of healing. They are tired of and in need of rest and peace. Listen now as the greatest story ever told continues as told by Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all what they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot
from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. At the end of the day, when they had crossed back over, they came to a land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed.
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? Loving God, oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they might swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. As the executive minister for a large urban church, my list of responsibilities was always just beyond my limit. There was always more that could be done, always greater need than could be met, more people in search of hope, healing, health, and wholeness than could possibly be served. Each day as I served that church, I fell slightly further behind on my to-do list and felt myself becoming ever more worn down. On one particular summer morning in my tiny but comfortable office, I sat at my desk overlooking the Boston Public Library. There on the marble slabs of that great building were the homeless, sleeping and grabbing the last bit of coolness before the sun once again baked the concrete urban landscape. I had just finished my prayers and just finished writing my list of tasks for the day. And there in that tiny office with a flickering candle that helps me find peace, the tea that brings me comfort, and the classical music that maintains my focus, I found the blessings of a new day. I had the optimism that on this day, it actually might all get done. It felt so good. It was in that rare moment of peace and possibility in my office that my office phone suddenly bleated for my attention. It was not the melodic ring of an incoming call from the outside world, but the telltale page coming from our reception desk. I knew my schedule for that day, and I knew I had no meetings for that morning. But I also knew in my role at that church, and one of my duties every day was the responsibility to meet those who came through our open doors unannounced and without appointment. The people who came through our open doors, the sheep without a shepherd, those searching for sanctuary or seeking solace, those who were hungry and looking to be fed. Picking up the phone and confirming the reality of my visitor from beyond our doors, I checked my shelf to make sure that my Bible was there and ready for me to use it. I checked my drawer of my desk to make sure that my stack of gift cards to the local supermarket were in plentiful supply. The peace of the moment was gone. I walked down to greet the one who had come. The disciples had just returned. The disciples had gone out with nothing, Mark tells us, and they faced a world in need of everything. They had cured and healed and anointed and been welcomed. They had taught and offered hope. They had learned and they had grown. And finally, when they came back, Mark tells us they were depleted. They were worn out. They were worn down. And so Jesus offered them a rare treat. Light a candle, Jesus said. Come away with me and pray. Put on a kettle of tea. Put up your feet and let the sweet melody of the countryside revive and revitalize you. Put down your duties and lists and obligations for a while, for I know a secret place where all of you might eat in leisure. And so the disciples, they boarded a boat. They felt the gentle breezes on their face, and I have no doubt they felt good. When I made it down to the lobby to greet the one who had come through our open doors, there was before me the look of someone who was not eating well. There was the odor of the city clinging to his body, tiredness grasping the contours of his eyes. And as he saw me, he rose, as did the contours and brightness of those eyes. While we walked back to my office, it was he who first spoke. He asked how I was doing. And after I answered, he said, I give thanks to God for this amazing church and for people like you. So Jesus and his disciples, they tried to get to that fishing boat undetected. Treasuring this rare moment, they heeded for that small boat that would whisk them away and lift them up beyond the troubles of the urban landscape. I'm not sure what gave them away, but Mark tells us that they were seen and recognized. And the sheep without a shepherd, those searching for sanctuary, those seeking solace, those who were hungry and looking to be fed, they knew a shortcut to where they were heading, and they raced on ahead of Jesus and his disciples. So as the boat drifted toward shore, the disciples were greeted with the faces of those who were not eating well. On the breeze came the smell of the city, and you could not help notice the tiredness that gripped the contours of their eyes. The peace of the moment for the disciples was gone. And yet, the disciples and the one they followed left that boat to greet those who had come. In my office, the young man and I settled into my two worn but comfortable chairs. I offered him some tea from the kettle that was still warm. I asked him how he was and what it was that brought him here. And after a sip of mint tea with just a touch of honey, those contours of his eyes lifted and brightened further. He told me that recently he had graduated from Oral Roberts University, and that while he had never been to New England, he had felt drawn to Boston. He told me that he had been here for a few weeks, and he already lamented just how expensive everything was. He noticed how great the needs that surrounded him. He relayed how often he spent sitting in our open sanctuary simply praying. And then he told me the calling that had come upon his heart, a calling to the ministry, to the very men and women who were trying to grasp that last bit of coolness from those marble slabs out by the library. That he was called to a ministry that would approach them as people of full dignity and of unknown possibility. But he confided to me that he was all alone in this strange place, that there was no one in the entire city he could call friend. And so he said that he had come by that morning simply to tell someone what he was about to try, so that he would not be alone in it. Pastor, he said, I am here asking only that you hear me, and that if you are willing, that you might bless me. Would you say a prayer over me to bless my work and to send the Spirit with me? Would you do that for me? Do you have the time to do that this morning? He was looking to be fed, but not in the way I had imagined.
If you look at our bulletin this morning, you will notice that our text for today from the sixth chapter of Mark leaves out 19 verses of this story. It leaves out verses 35 to 53. It leaves out how there were not just a few tired faces along the shore waiting for those disciples. Instead, Mark tells us there were 5,000 men, to say nothing of the women and children. It leaves out how, as the day drew to a close, those disciples who had not had the leisure to eat themselves fed those 5,000 men, not to mention the women and children. Sometimes I get so frustrated about the way the lectionary leaves certain parts of stories out. But today I give thanks, because I think today's lectionary helps us keep our focus squarely not on the feeding, but instead on the fed, on why those people had come. And I don't believe that they journeyed all the way to that lakeside for a free meal or a gift card to the supermarket. They were sheep without a shepherd. They were people searching for sanctuary, seeking solace. They were looking to be fed, but perhaps not in the way we have always focused on this story, in the multiplication of loaves and fishes. They, like that young man, needed a place to come into where they were not alone. They needed someone to share their story with. They were looking for acknowledgement and blessing. And Mark tells us, despite being thoroughly worn down and worn out, Jesus and his disciples welcomed them in. They made time. They spent the whole day with those people, welcoming them in. Not on their schedule, but on the people's schedule. Every worship in our bulletin will be a welcome. We schedule it early in the service to make sure that we can overtly and even extravagantly welcome people in. And it is good, and it is true, but it is nowhere near enough. Because sometimes welcome needs to happen on the schedule of the one who needs it, not just on the time of the church prepared to give it. It is one of the reasons we put those planters out on the front of this church, not just to spread beauty, but to let the passerby know that this place is alive and that they are welcome here. It is one of the reasons we throw those spotlights on at night, so that anyone traveling in darkness might see that this is a place that is open and available. It is a reason we put that sign out there in the driveway announcing the ramp in the back of the church, that those who are excluded from a sanctuary by steps know that they are welcome here. It is the reason our phone message at church gives my home number, because people's needs don't conform to the workday. And is the reason we open this building every day of the week, because you never know when someone might be in need. I keep my desks here towards the window as well. I keep my desk toward the window because here's what I've learned about this place. I have seen people who circle this place, who walk through the parking lot looking up at this church and looking up at the steeple, but never daring to come through the door. Maybe it's because the barriers of church have been too great for them. Maybe it's because what the church has done to them. But what I have learned is that sometimes I need to get out of this church and go invite them in and meet those people where they are. On Sundays at 10, we schedule this worship so that those who are lost and lonely, hungry and tired, broken or breaking, tired and aching, can come through these doors. But we open our doors Monday through Friday and Saturday too. Sometimes during the week, the people who come through the door have lost a loved one, received a tough diagnosis, or maybe, like that young man, they are starting a new chapter of their lives. They include people on pilgrimage and people wandering aimlessly. There have been dozens upon dozens of people who have come through that door and sat in my office, and I got to be honest, not always at convenient times or when my schedule is open. But that is precisely the point of today's story. I am saddened that a growing number of churches are closing their doors during the week. Pastors tell me that they are increasingly doing their work from home or the library or the coffee shop because there they can find peace and quiet. It is better for them, they say. People will also tell you shutting the church doors during the week allows us to save electricity and heat and resources. But our story today gives a different account. It reminds us to always be a place where people can come on their schedule, not ours. The longer I serve here, the more deeply I know of my need to be open to those sheep without a shepherd, to those looking for sanctuary, seeking solace, or looking to be fed, no matter what my calendar or my to-do list might have to say. And while I think we do our part here in this church with our planters and spotlights and signs and ramps and messages and websites, it is not enough. You need to be ready too. For when you come to worship, when you engage in formation, when you become part of this family, you take on the ministry and mission of Christ himself. I promise you this, you will be transformed, and I don't know how. But as Mark tells us, they will. That transformation will be noticeable. The way you live will be recognizable. And before you know it, people are going to be coming to you, seeking out guidance, sanctuary, solace, and sustenance. And my question for you is, are you ready to bless them? Will you, in the midst of your life, have time for them? That young man and I sat there in my office on Boylston Street until time lost significance. We talked about dreams and fears. We shared hope and conviction. And then amidst the flickering candle and gentle music, we held hands and we prayed. And as he asked, I offered him a blessing on his person, on his path, on his plans. Through it, I hope that he found strength and courage and perspective. And through it, and more importantly, through him, I know that I found all of the above, and that I, not he, was the one more richly blessed through our encounter. Let us pray. Loving God, source of light and life, you who lay an endless welcome before us, reach out and touch us. Transform us that we might be your welcome, that we might be your joy, your healing, your hope, and your blessing for anyone and everyone in need. Amen.
Friends, be seated. So we come to our time in worship where we open up our lives to God and to one another. Here in this church, we lift up the joys of our life and the burdens we carry, both so that we may pray for them here in this space and so that we may take them with us in the days to come. And so I ask you once again this morning, what are your joys? What burdens do you bear? We give thanks this morning for the agreement on arms with Iran and the possibility of peace. Patty. We give thanks for the safe return of your husband after 2 months of traveling around the country. David. We lift up congratulations on your 17th wedding anniversary. Joy and peace to you. We give thanks that your daughter Margot is here to spend the entire summer with you and that she is a source of strength for you. Yes, Gigi. We give thanks for peaceful seclusion in Maine and for the delightful surprise of your son being married upon your return. Finally. Cindy. We do give thanks, Terry, that you are back from Chicago and with us here in worship today. Gratitude for feeling good again. Prayers for Rich and Christy as they take on a new foster child. Other joys and concerns. Glenn. I lift up Chris, who's going through a difficult time, and I do give thanks to God for that young man, and I hope and pray that his ministry is giving life today. We lift up the Stanton family, whose daughter drowned in Rhode Island, I believe, this past week. Joyce. We lift up joy for being surrounded by a whole gaggle of family. Other joys and concerns. Then let us take a moment to let all of those prayers settle onto our hearts and rest within our minds. Here we are, God, the sheep of your fold, the children of your creation, the very hands of your love. We ask you, God, that you hear us, that you hear the prayers we have lifted today, prayers for the prospect of peace, for the joy of family, for marriages newly entered into and longly walked, for the gratitude of feeling good and being here, for the many gifts, God, that you place on our hearts and on our lives. God, we also ask you to hear about Rich and Christy. Bless them as they welcome in a foster child. We lift up Chris to you. We lift up an unnamed young man who is doing your work.
and we lift up the Stanton family and the Rothstein family as they grieve. God, we ask you to listen and to hear us as you have listened to the faithful throughout time. Meet us in your wisdom where we need to be met. Cradle us in your arms. Pour out your love upon us in sweet, refreshing water. Even as we pray for your ear, O God, we pray that you might help us listen for and to you. Open our hearts so wide that we might feel your tiptoed entrance. Open our ears to hear the voices of those who have come before us and your very own whisper. God, make in us your welcome. Create in us a clean heart. Give through us your love to all whom come into our presence. For all these things, God, and for more, we pray for your help, your guidance, your endurance, and perhaps most of all, God, your patience. And let the whole church say, Amen. We lifted up great joy today in our prayers. And that is good, because here's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. God loves someone who gives with joy. In fact, the word is that God loves people who give with hilarity. So in the joy of this place and our lives, and in the bounty of all that has been given, let us this morning once again collect an offering for the ministries of this local body of Christ. Loving God, we offer but a portion of the bounty you have bestowed. Receive these, our gifts, as we seek to walk in your way. Where justice is sought, use these gifts to bring Christ's liberating word. Where there is pain, may they bring the healing of Christ's love. And where there is loneliness and despair, may they bring Christ's hope. Amen. Friends, our time of worshiping God within these walls is drawing to a close, that we might worship God afresh and anew beyond these walls. Before we go our separate ways, a couple of invitations. First, you are all invited to come through these doors, that we might enjoy a time of food and fellowship together. I want to remind you that Michelle will be in that back room, and I invite all of you who are good and gifted with flowers. There is that huge bucket of flowers out there to be broken into bouquets, along with a whole other one you have not yet seen. Feel free to help with the flowers, and more importantly, feel free to take those flowers and give them away to someone whose life needs it. And now I invite you to sing our last hymn with gusto and conviction. Friends, go now, and may the grace of God, deeper than human imagination, may the strength of Christ, stronger than our greatest need, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, richer than any human promise, guide and sustain you, warm and challenge you, preserve and protect you this day and every day. And let the whole church say, Amen.